The following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the Sonic sit-rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, shooters and looters! I am Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, March 21st, 2010. This week, as we head into week 6 of Urgent Fury 141, we wrap up weeks 4 and 5 of Urgent Fury's mini tac map tournament for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 on the PlayStation 3. We remember a more mellow time in Urgent Fury with another spoof-ad flashback, and we have an exclusive interview with one of the busiest, brightest, and beautiful geek girls in the gaming industry. Stop thinking with your dipstick, Jimmy. This is Urgent Frequency.
Hey guys, it's Audrey Trio from PlayStation Network's Core and Fearnet.com. You are listening to Urgent Frequency on UrgentFury.com.
You can show your support for Wounded Warrior Project using your cellular telephone. To give $5 to Wounded Warrior Project, simply text WWP one word to 90999. You will get a text back asking you to confirm your gift. Just reply with yes, and $5 will be added to your phone bill and will go straight to Wounded Warrior Project. Help make a difference for those veterans wounded while defending our freedom. Standard text message fees apply.
Greetings, people of March 2010. Kevin Butler here, coming to you from the future. That's right, all the way from November 2010. Let me tell you, the future is crazy. We all eat our food through straws, and we're all still reeling from the shocking end of the baseball season. That's right, Kansas City in six, so call your bookie. And of course, the arrival of the future of gaming, the PlayStation Move, which has been an incredible success, so thank you. This thing's about as futuristic or now-aristic as it gets. You've got the controller and a camera with microphones working together to give you total control over your gaming experience. Plus, PlayStation Move's not only crazy precise, it's also got what we in the future call buttons, which turn out to be pretty important to those handful of millions of people who enjoy playing shooters, platformers, or, well, anything that doesn't involve catching a big red ball. So, I mean, come on. Who wants to pretend their hand is a gun? What is this, third grade?
Woo! 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 Woo!
As you can see, the PlayStation Move allows us to immerse players in the game like never before. I'd love to tell you more, but I'd hate to cause a rift in the whole space-time continuum thing. Believe me, that gets messy. Oh, and if you happen to run into the present-day me, please tell me to avoid the Cinco de Mayo flan. Thank you.
Urgent Frequency.
All right, men, open fire. Who's hurt? Raise your hands. Without the attitude.
Time is running out, and with each passing moment, the world edges closer to a nuclear holocaust. The remaining teams must not only survive, but they must identify, locate, and neutralize the terrorist cells in the region before their grim plan becomes a horrible reality. One thing's for sure, there's nothing small when it comes to Urgent Fury's mini tac map sensation, Urgent Fury 141. When we last convened, the FNGs had taken a huge lead while two reigning champs held on by the skin of their teeth. We rumble into week 6 with Swift and Rev still standing strong in the 1 and 2 spots, separated by only two territories, with 16 and 14 territories respectively. But as we've learned from tournaments past, no lead is too formidable. IMR takes advantage of the skid that veterans OGC and War have been on, slipping into the 3 spot uncontested with 9 territories, while Shadow Ops sits alone on the doorstep in the 4 spot with 8 territories. The rest of the pack trails by at least 3 territories as 503 sits in 5th place with 5 territories. As I mentioned, War skids all the way into 6th place, peaking in the 3 spot just 14 days ago, with the last 2 spots all knotted up. Violent Revolution and Wolf fight it out for the 7th spot, while OGC and Clan Blunt Force are both in critical condition with only 1 territory each. And surprisingly, both reigning Urgent Fury champions, LPK and Clan Uprising, will watch the rest of the tournament like the rest of us after being eliminated. For more intel, please visit www.urgentfury.com/141. Also, Urgent Fury Command wanted me to let all of you know that there is a special Modern Warfare 2 tournament event coming in April, and that includes all of our Xbox friends as well. As a side note, hoo-yah to Urgent Fury Ranger Nemesis, who noticed that during our last transmission, I mistakenly said that General Shepard delivered the line, "All you need to change the world is one good lie in a river of blood." Of course, in reality, it was actually Captain Price who uttered the chilling catchphrase. Good catch, Nemesis. For more tasty tidbits from the COD universe, visit the official Call of Duty Wiki at callofduty.wikia.com. On to Urgent Fury Black. Don't forget, you have until Wednesday, March 31st to submit your clan's application for Urgent Fury's No Boon Tournament event, Urgent Fury Black. Clans will receive their invitations on April 4th, 2010, and war begins April 12th, 2010. In his meditations, Marcus Aurelius said, "Think not disdainfully of death, but look on it with favor, for even death is one of the things that nature wills." Urgent Fury would like to take this time to honor our fallen comrade, CBF's The Hulkster, and to salute the members of our community that populated the most recent trauma ward in his honor. Our thoughts and deepest sympathies are with CBF during this difficult time. We salute CBF The Hulkster with this moment of silence.
Flashback.
Dude, are you hungry for the best pizza in town, dude? Then you and the fam should crash right here at Pizza Love and SoCon to get your munch on, dude. Doesn't get much better than one of our groovy pizzas covered in authentic Italian sauce and our secret herb. We know you've been victimized by the dreaded frozen pizzas and the imitators out there, dude. But this is Pizza Love and SoCon, so just mellow out, man. Nestled right on the corner of Hippie Street and Premise Avenue, shake off the fall leaves and let the family enjoy our Big 3 dinner combo for only $34.99. Dude, it's the 3 basics of life, pizza, love, and SoCon. Man, our pizza's so good, it should be against the law, dude, and is in 47 states without a prescription.
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics, 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Urgent. Frequency.
Tonight's guest graduated with honors from the University of California, Berkeley, with a degree in political economy. She was named one of the top 3 women of geek culture by G4 TV in their Women of the Web series, coming in second just behind actress Julia Ling. That is much debated. She is a correspondent for Fearnet.com and for the PlayStation Network's exclusive online magazine, Core. She's appeared on the Mix Channel, and she's worked behind the camera as a writer-producer for E! News on the E! Entertainment Network. She likes surfing, Mexican food, Stephen Hawking, and Apollo Ono's soul patch, and hates mock turtlenecks.
She's a member of the Asian American Journalists Association, and she is proficient in both Italian and Mandarin Chinese. It's my pleasure to welcome host, producer, blogger, vlogger, model, the list goes on and on, the lovely, the talented Audrey Cleo. Welcome to Urgent Frequency.
Thank you. Wow, that was quite an introduction. I don't think I can live up to all that, but thank you.
Yeah, I've been working out. Can you tell?
I can tell. You have a great voice for this, by the way.
Why, thank you. Listen, well, you have a great voice for this as well. You should, I don't know, maybe you should do a podcast. Just say it.
I've been asked to do a lot of different things, podcasting being one of them. So we'll see. Right now, I limit my voice stuff to Core and Fearnet, and I also do a little bit of voice acting, so that's been fun.
Oh, voice acting, so like video games and things like that?
Uh-huh, video games, animated, commercial, so any of that stuff. It's really fun because I can't actually act.
But your voice can act.
But my voice can act. It's so weird. It's like they're two different things. But I know I'm a bad actress because I'm a bad liar. So I'm like, oh, but voice acting, it's like, oh, I could do it in sweats. I'm like, this is fun.
Well, see, that's kind of like my thing. I think that's the reason I tried. At one time, I actually thought about doing sports for a local news station, and someone told me that I have a face for radio. I really do. I look terrified. I'm also a musician, so when I'm on stage, I'm a drummer, so it's great because I'm not up front. I'm like behind the drums, and I can pretty much do anything I want.
You get
and,
your rock face on. That's
I
awesome.
Do get drummers my rock face. I'll send you some rock face photos at some
yes,
point.
Yes, yes. Awesome.
But my first question is actually, believe it or not, this is from my questions I'd like to ask Seth MacFarlane folder. How do you find time for all the stuff that you do? I mean, you obviously don't sleep.
No, I don't. I am cloned, though. So,
well, there you go. That,
yeah, that's cloning solves all your problems, but it's weird because it's like if you ever saw the movie Multiplicity, it's kind of like that. The more iterations or the more versions of yourself that you have or replicas, they kind of get successively worse, you know?
We're about to get philosophical.
Yeah, we're just it's going in really weird territory. But yeah, I'm cloned. That's how I manage to be everywhere.
Do you have an entourage?
An entourage. Yeah, it consists of one person.
Okay.
My sister.
Oh, okay. She definitely is your support system.
Yeah. She rolls out with me, you know.
So now, is that a crew or is that a patna?
That's a clan.
There you go. Okay. I'm down with that. I'm okay with clan.
I'm trying to upgrade us to cult at some point.
Well, you have to do something incredibly horrible.
I know. Yeah. You have to do, like, there's like cannibalism involved and, you know.
Gunplay.
At some point, you have to go to Waco and set things on fire, and there has to be the National Guard gets involved. It gets a little messy.
Now, see, this is one of the rants I was warning you about. What always bugged me about that, it never said Waco, Texas. It always said near Waco, Texas, like nobody wanted to take responsibility for it or something.
Right. You probably think that, like, the mayor of Waco called them as the... You know, national news broadcasters were coming down there and the helicopters were circling around there. Like, actually, it's near Waco. It's not really Waco, you guys.
The Chamber of Commerce stepped in and...
I know. They were finally useful.
Listen, so in all seriousness, I really do appreciate you taking the time to be here because you really do have an epic schedule. And I feel very special considering that, well, I thought that you were going to be cutting into your God of War 3 playtime, but you said you haven't got to play any yet.
I know. I thought you would be, too. I picked it up today. I actually flew in last night very late, so I wasn't able to go do the whole midnight thing. And I don't think the video game retailer that's closest to me actually even... Well, they may have had people come in at midnight, but it's really weird. It's inside a mall, so I don't know if like the mall was even open for it. But I went and picked up my pre-ordered copy today, but then I had to run around and do all this crazy stuff all over Los Angeles, and it's been burning a hole in my purse all day. So I'm like, I'm really chomping at the bit to go and finally play this. And
anticipation. Anticipation. Once you finally get to play, it'll be like, ah. And right. I've heard nothing but good things about it. And we'll talk more about God of War. But now, as I mentioned, you went to UC Berkeley. And what I want to know is how a degree in political economy translates into a career as a pop culture journalist.
It doesn't.
Okay.
I'll be honest. It doesn't, at least directly. You know what's funny is I use a lot of my political economy knowledge when I watch Lost. There's a lot of political economy when you watch Lost, believe it or not. Like with the names of the characters and with what they do and how they act, there's a ton of stuff that that resonates with me, you know, from the stuff I learned back in college. If anything, it gives you a global perspective about things. I come from a global family, and that's always been, to have that kind of world, a more worldly point of view is always really important. And I think that's useful to you no matter what you do, whether it's covering pop culture or video games or news or anything.
I'm assuming that's why you went into political economy, because I mean, that's not a normal run of the mill major. I mean, you could have taken any number of things.
I could have. And it's actually, the full name of the major is called Political Economy of Industrial Society. So it's shortened to PEIS. I know it's like very, very Berkeley. Like they should have just called it, you know, BS sort of international relations degree. And like that could have been its official name. But the funniest thing is that there's actually kind of a counterpoint to that major that used to be called, well, it's called development studies, but it used to be called political economy of non-industrial societies. I kid you not. You shorten that. So my major was PEIS. Stick the N right in between there. And this like went out on like course syllabi. Maybe we should fix that. And now it's called development studies. True story.
Wow. See, but I'm sure there's a lot of folks who signed up for that right off the bat.
Thinking that it was about something completely different. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Famous UC Berkeley. We talked a little bit about this, but famous UC Berkeley alumni. I want you to name as many as you can. I mean, there's hundreds upon hundreds, but some of the more prominent, let's see how many big names you can name from UC Berkeley.
Okay. Let's see. John Cho.
There you go.
Known as Harold from Harold and Kumar. George Takei.
From Star Trek.
Yes, from Star Trek. Jason Kidd, who I don't know if he's actually considered an alum, because I don't think he finished. But okay. His jersey was up in the stadium, so I guess he kind of counts.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay. Johnny Mosley, who I actually had a class with.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, Duffy from Road Rules. Had a class with him as well. Does he count? Probably not.
He's not on my list, but like I said, you're the guest, so whatever you say.
Tom from MySpace.
You are correct. Tom Anderson, co-founder and president of MySpace. There's a couple more.
Well, the Unabomber used to teach there.
Did he?
They don't include that on the campus tour. I noticed that when I was touring the campus, they didn't write that.
That's probably a good thing.
They didn't let you know about that.
What about Bill Bixby? Incredible Hulk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Philip K. Dick.
Watch your language, young lady.
I know. Political economy of non-industrial societies. Think about it, kids. Let's see, who else? I should be able to name more. Alice Waters.
See, I don't even know who that is.
Okay, she's a big-time chef. In the foodie world, she's big. Steve Wozniak?
No.
Oh, come on.
I'm lost.
Of Apple computers.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I was heading towards Adam Duritz of the Counting Crows.
Oh, and Adam, of course, probably gonna forget Adam Duritz, possibly one of our most famous alumni. You would see him like around the streets of Berkeley. He's such a huge Cal fan. You'd see him at like every sports game.
He seems like the kind of guy I'd want to hang out with and party with, like on game night.
Yeah, and you would and want to know like how he got away with dating both Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston.
What?
know, yeah, he dated both of them.
Well, see, he was like a soulful, he was Mr. Guitar, acoustic guitar under the tree on campus kind of guy. So he could get away with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never could get away with that.
Possibly the only white guy who get away with dreads. White guys who get away with dreads.
He does pull it off.
Yeah. He really does. And you see him walking around with, like, you know, a Cal sweatshirt and these huge dreads, and you're like, oh, Adam Duritz. Must be a Cal game on.
this might be the one that kind of, like you said, some are more infamous than famous, but counterculture guru Dr. Timothy Leary, the guy who... Mm-hmm. Who freaked us all out in the 60s.
Yeah.
But those are just a few of the UC Berkeley. And of course, now Audrey Cleo.
Yeah, me. Oh, Natalie Coughlin. I think she was there when...
See, why do I... That name... She's an actress, right?
No, Natalie Coughlin. She is an Olympic gold medalist, the swimmer.
Wow, swimmer. I think I saw there was a skier. I'm not going to look this up again, but I'm pretty sure there was a skier.
Chris Pine. How could we forget Chris Pine? Chris Pine and I think we went there maybe together for a year or something. He graduated before me, but Chris Pine went there.
See, I thought I had the most comprehensive list, and you just blew me out of the water. Jesus.
A lot of good people come out of Berkeley, come out of Cal.
Is it a great place to cultivate your creative? I mean, because everybody talks about Berkeley like it's just this this place of thinking that goes beyond, and maybe it is. I mean, pretty big names. Gregory Peck, too.
It was a great place to just learn, I think. It's a great academic environment. You meet all sorts of different kinds of people. You put up with things that you never thought you would have to put up with, you know, but it's, and I mean that in the best way possible. I mean, it's such a great learning experience. I know it sounds weird, but I'm like, I mean, there are no nudity laws in Berkeley. So there are just some things that you get really used to, like the breasts not bombs parade right in front of your dorm or on your way to lunch. You're like, oh, that's interesting.
Hold on one second. I'm weeping. I'm actually weeping right now. That's beautiful. I think that's beautiful.
I know. It's poetry. But it's funny because your first semester there, you're kind of slack-jawed the whole time, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this and this is happening. You know, I can't believe this hippie tie-dye wearing dreadlocks person is, you know, taking a dump right in front of me. But it's
Wait, did that really happen to you?
You get like totally desensitized to it because then your friends come to visit you or your family comes to visit you and you're just like, yeah, that just happened. That didn't happen to me, but
it's the kind of thing that might happen.
Yeah, no, totally. It's kind of like one of those things that it's kind of your initiation into Berkeley. Kind of like when people move to New York, they're like, they don't feel like a real New Yorker until they've seen a homeless person take a dump on the street. Like it's kind of like that. But I did really see a breasts, not bombs parade. That is a thing in Berkeley. And it's, you know, naked anti-war
that's great on so many different levels. I can't even.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fantastic.
Did you participate in? Well, see, that's none of my business.
Oh, in breasts not bombs? No, my mother would frown on that. I think. My mother saw the G4 segment, which, comparatively speaking, and compared to some of the other girls on the list, I thought mine was pretty tame. You know, there was. I don't think they had to blur out any nipples or anything.
No, they did not. They had to blur out my nipples while I was. Oh, no.
So, I mean, she kind of bristled and she was like, I just want to talk to you. And I was like, oh gosh.
Could you see yourself doing hard news?
I could. Definitely. Actually, I come from a more hard news background. I worked at CNN as an intern / production assistant while I was in college. So I was doing things like covering executions, actually, up in San Quentin.
No way.
I've been to San Quentin like 3 times during my little tenure at CNN. And, you know, just doing things like freezing and holding a microphone for Anderson Cooper's show. Like, I've been in the trenches.
Well, that's pretty cool. Anderson Cooper seems like the kind of guy that, like, he will go out and get it. I mean, I don't know much about Anderson Cooper, but, man, that guy is just like, if there's an earthquake, he's there. What about political office? Would you ever think about doing something like that?
I used to when I was younger, but now not so much. I think I'm much more comfortable reporting on it or bringing stories about it, you know, to the forefront and to the public audience.
I'm one of those guys that I don't complain too much about, particularly the president. I don't complain too much, only because I sit there and go, I can barely balance my checkbook. if I can sleep till like 10 a.m., which is a late day, if I can sleep into like 10 a.m. and then get up and do my thing and have my day, then I'm great, man. That's awesome. But the president, to me, that's entirely, I don't know. I think that's entirely too much responsibility for one human.
You kind of have to be a little bit crazy to want to be president, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's what I have friends who have political aspirations and I fully support them in that. And I think it's important to have, to have effective people representing you. And I think it's important to have voices heard. So, you know, government's the way that you have to do it and the way we have to go through it. Can't hate it because it's there.
I was just thinking your degree would never be more relevant than right now, considering most of the problems in Washington seem like they're either political or economic. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And political economy is the happy marriage of the two. But I think at Berkeley it was called economics for dummies because you didn't have to take the really hard economics classes.
Politics scare me anyway. It's all scary to me. Speaking of being scared, I'm assuming you're a horror film buff.
I wouldn't call myself a buff, actually. My blog on FearNet is actually called Educating Audrey, and there's a reason for that. I'm sort of a neophyte, I think, a little bit when it comes to the whole horror thriller thing. So I like to get other people's recommendations for what I should watch. Like, I've seen the classics and everything. It's kind of required. But as far as like being really knowing every detail about every horror movie that comes out, I'm still kind of gathering my knowledge base.
But how did the gig at FearNet come about? I mean, because that's the reason I asked, is obviously, or at least I assumed that you were at least a fan anyway.
Oh, I am a fan.
Definitely,
yeah, I'm a fan of like horror, thriller, sci-fi, that stuff. I'm a fan of, no doubt. It came up actually through my agent, and I think that I got on board with them because I'm geeky and dorky, and if there's anything that horror freaks are, they're, you know, we're all kind of geeky. So
we are.
So that's kind of how I got into it.
Do you have a favorite horror movie? I mean, I've got several, but if I had to name one that just, I got started when I lived in Detroit. There was this show, Sir Graves Ghastly, and he showed all the classics, including all of the bombs from the 50s and 60s and whatnot. But the one movie that I can watch to this day, grown man, swear to God, and it just. I come undone when I'm watching this movie, Unsettled, The Exorcist. It's, without a question, to me, it's one of the scariest.
Yeah.
The original Amityville Horror does the same thing to me. It messes with me on a psychological level. It really does. It's one of those things where you're sitting around and you start looking over your shoulder in the dark and everything.
Totally. I mean, I think for me, Rosemary's Baby
Ooh.
Will get me because it's subtle enough and makes you kind of uncomfortable from the very beginning, but you don't know you're getting uncomfortable. And then there's these kind of like upbeats to it too. Like it actually can be kind of a pleasant movie. People always, when I'm talking about this with people, with my friends or whatever, you know, the whole 3D push comes up because we're seeing a lot of horror and a lot of genre movies go in that direction. Just a lot of movies in general, I think, are going in the 3D direction. And the question is kind of like, is it just a gimmick? Does it really add to a true scary horror film when some of the best stuff out there is all 2D stuff? Doesn't have all that fancy opportunity.
I just want to know, do I need to go buy? I mean, and it's going to happen. Somebody's going to have the heavy-duty 3D glasses that, you know, if you go to the movies, you got to have them. And as seen on TV, and it's going to happen, yeah. I think. I don't know. I haven't seen, like, I saw Alice in Wonderland the other day, thought it was phenomenal. And, of course, everybody was like, well, you didn't see it in 3D. I'm like, dude, it's a movie, you know, if the story is, and I knew what the story was.
Yeah.
As long as the actors brought the performances, I was going to be pretty happy with it, with or without the 3D.
Yeah, I mean, some of the 3D stuff, like, I thought, for me, like, a movie like Avatar, I actually didn't notice the 3D too much. It was almost dialed down a little bit too much for me.
Do you have an anticipated film in the genre that you're waiting for, like a horror? Because I'll tell you right now, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I've seen previews for that one, the remake.
I'm excited about that. I'm telling you. What's his name? Jackie Earl Haley. He played Rorschach in The Watchmen. Mm-hmm.
Who I thought was the best part of that movie. He did a bang-up job.
That's how I judge a character. If I'm watching a movie and I forget for a second, even if it's just for a second, and I forget that it's Brad Pitt or I forget that it's whoever, that's how I know, hey, this is a pretty good movie.
Right. As far as anticipating any that are coming out, I mean, there's some good stuff coming out. There is a movie called Let the Right One In, which is it's a Swedish movie, but it's getting remade into an American movie.
They'll screw it up somehow. They'll screw up the name.
Yeah, and that's kind of, that'll be disappointing if they do, because I think at this point, people kind of expect, or at least fans expect you to kind of screw up a really great import, you know? But that's one that I'm looking forward to. I just saw, but as far as recent movies go, I saw The Crazies and I loved it. I thought it was
everybody
fantastic.
That I've talked to said that's a great movie.
It's fantastic. I like Timothy Oliphant. I've liked him since kind of in the beginning of his career when he wasn't just playing like cops. He seems to play a lot of cops.
Cops or FBI agents or something like that.
Yeah, FBI. And they always have like an accent. You know, they're always like Southern or from the Midwest. I don't know why. But I've liked him since he was like the drug dealer in Go. Towards the beginning of his career, and he's just great. The whole movie is great. I think the suspense is awesome. There are definitely some jump moments, but it's not so over the top bloody or like violent or anything. It's just a good scare. It's good suspense. It's good scare. I like it a lot.
Everybody in Urgent Fury is probably more familiar with you because you work on Core. How did that gig come about? And man, it's just awesome, isn't it?
No, it's actually terrible. It's the worst job on earth.
It's the worst job.
Yeah, you know, I hate covering video games and traveling on someone else's dime. It just sucks.
And that Veronica Belmont, she must be such a pain.
Yeah, sitting in makeup's such a pain. Sitting there, oh my God.
Oh, I saw your behind the scenes thing. That was pretty cool.
Oh, the little video. Yeah, I'm glad people really responded to that. I'm really glad. I tried to, you know, give everybody a little feel for what we actually do, which is just eat lunch and hang out and ask each other stupid questions. Core came up because the production company, or I guess the publishing company, who actually makes it, Future US, I did a pilot for them a long time ago. The pilot eventually turned into Core because PlayStation Network picked it up. And by that time, they had signed on Veronica to be the main host, and then they wanted a correspondent, so they asked me to come back. And I was living in LA by then. I used to live in the Bay Area, and that's where they're housed. Like, that's where Veronica lives. That's where all the producers live. But I live down here, and I became their correspondent, and it's just kind of ballooned from there. It's really nice to see that people like what we turn out, and we're always looking for new ways to present video games, whether it's through demos or through more editorial or bringing more facets of like the gaming lifestyle. Like, we did a little travelogue from Tokyo. So we're always looking to kind of like push that. And really, there's like not really anything like it out there right now, which is kind of cool too. In our latest episode, I interviewed Marv Wolfman, who is the scribe creator, Grand Poobah, the god of war graphic novels. And it was really interesting to talk to him. He's huge in the comic book world. And comics is something that's still new to me. I didn't really grow up, you know, with comics or interacting with comic books, really. My sister actually did. She was into comic books, but not even to a level that I think a lot of, you know, like hardcore comics fans are. Kind of leading up to the interview, I had done my research and I was, you know, looking him up and stuff. And it's not that I've never read comic books or anything. That's not the case at all. I have actually a couple horror comic books sitting in front of me. I have the craziest comic book sitting in front of me right now, actually. And I was also reading Walking Dead for a while. I was doing my research on him, and it was really interesting to talk to a writer, you know, from get the writer's perspective on this whole thing and not just like a fan's perspective, and go through the process of it. And it was cool because he is a huge fan of God of War. You can actually download the episode with me interviewing Marv Wolfman of the God of War graphic novel right now. It's on the PlayStation Store. So I believe it's $2.99 for a single download or $24.99 for a subscription. And there's also some other God of War features on there, I do believe. We have an exclusive gallery that's narrated by Marv. He goes through the first couple of pages. The graphic novels are really interesting because he went back and it's to tell Kratos's backstory. So you see when he's a teenager and he's in the Spartan army and the things that he had to do as a leader in the Spartan army at a young age. And, you know, kind of all the trauma and all the stuff that he had to go through to become the enormous translucent guy with the red scar on his face.
Well, that's pretty awesome, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like it's kind of like an origins story.
So get to the PlayStation Store immediately, if not sooner.
Exactly. Check out our exclusive gallery with the God of War graphic novels narrated by Marv Wolfman himself. So
there you go. Any dream projects? If you could pick your next adventure, Audrey, what would it be?
As far as core or as like just dream projects?
Just
in general?
Anything in general. Because you do everything. So I mean, what?
I do everything.
You do a lot. You do a lot more than I do.
I've had the chance to do a lot of cool things in some really different fields. So I'm very appreciative of you know, all of that, whether it's the entertainment stuff or the video game stuff, it's all kind of, you know.
Do you want to act? You want to be misleading lady, or at least I always said if I could be like hot dog vendor number two or thug number four, or if I could just,
and you
would,
you know, I mean, if you're in Hollywood, it's amazing. Getting hot dog vendor number two, just getting that role, they went through 400 people, you know?
Well, they got to get the right guy for the part, you know?
Right, exactly. Whether it's, even though you're only going to be in the shot for 2 seconds, maybe.
Would you like to do that, though?
I don't think acting has ever been my objective. There's a lot of crossover with what I do as far as the hosting stuff. There are a lot of actors who do it. And so, you know, you interact with a lot of actors or people who want to go into acting. I've never been formally trained in acting and I've never taken an acting class or anything. And it's never been really something that I've actively pursued or thought that I had like a talent for. I'm pretty just good at being me, I think.
And again, like I said earlier, I think that's enough. I think that is just perfect.
I really hope so. That's what my mom says anyway.
I want to know how you could be considered for Crush of the Week. I'm a little upset. I mean, I know I'm kind of new on the radar, but hopefully maybe...
Well, money talks.
See what I can do. I'll see what I can do.
You know how much Gamertag paid for his spot? primo real estate. Mm-hmm. Now we all know how I got on Women of the Web. Pure bribery.
Like I said, I'll see what I can do. You got a PayPal or something? We should talk about your blog. I mean, I enjoy, over the last couple of weeks, I've actually been reading your blog, and I find it interesting. Of course, I love your tweets. The folks can find you on Twitter if they want to. But talk about the blog. Is that something that you just... I recently saw this episode of House where Laura Prepon from That 70s Show, she was on there and she was this blogger, and she couldn't stay away from the blog. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you can't stay away from the blog? Or do you cherish the times that you are away from the blog?
For me, it used to be more about quantity than quality. But for me, it's definitely about quality. So sometimes stepping away from the blog means just that I'm working on entries or I'm working on stuff. And when I post it, I want it to be good. And I want it to be something that people will want to read and not feel like I'm just rehashing old news, you know, or anything that they've already heard before.
You literally want to inform them, entertain them.
I want to make it good. And right now I'm actually going through a redesign, which is why I haven't really updated as much as I would like to. I'm kind of just considering, you know, what I want it to look like going forward and how to just keep making it better, you know. Hopefully I'll be doing more vlogs, which is something that people have asked me to do more and more. So I'm getting all my editing and video stuff up and, you know.
Building a set.
Yeah, building a set, you know, hiring stunt people, CGI.
That would be awesome.
Full-time, you know, someone to key me out on the green screen and everything. Shouldn't be explosions. Michael Bay, watch it.
Explosions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael Bay, watch out.
First of all, just let me say thank you so much. You've been awesome. And I really, honest to goodness, I appreciate you taking the time because I know you are busy. But I love the Actor Studio, Inside the Actor Studio with James Lipton. I'm sure you've seen it on Bravo.
Yes.
But I've always wanted to try this, and I want to do the questionnaire. Can I do the questionnaire?
Yeah.
Let's do the questionnaire. The following 10-question questionnaire was created by French television personality Bernard Pivot. Number one, what is your favorite word, Audrey?
My favorite word has got to be avuncular.
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 Can you please use it in a sentence?
Patrick's voice makes me think that he has a very avuncular affect.
I don't know what that means, but I feel
you know what avuncular means? The coolest part is what it means.
Okay, well, tell us what it means.
Uncle-like.
Uncle-like.
Who would have thought? Avuncular.
Okay, what is your least favorite word?
Ointment. I don't like that.
I don't know if I like ointment either. That's...
like go get your ointment. Like, you know, it's just something bad.
Nothing good can be attached to the word
no,
ointment.
No, exactly. Ointment. Anybody happy to get their ointment? No.
Which leads us to the next question. What turns you on?
Good hygiene.
Ooh.
That, yeah.
I think it's important too. I brushed my teeth right before we did this interview, as a matter of fact.
I can tell.
What turns you off besides ointment?
Oh, we've already talked about the mock turtlenecks.
Oh,
like, yeah.
What's your thing with mock turtlenecks? So, you think they're pretentious? Is that what you think?
To use a very descriptive and sophisticated word, they're a little douchey. I think I saw the first time I noticed, or I guess I realized that I kind of have an aversion to mock turtlenecks was I was watching some entertainment show and the host brought up that Jake from The Bachelor wears a lot of mock turtlenecks. And I was like, oh, that looks awful. So, yeah, automatic turn off.
What sound or noise do you love?
I really like the sound of someone enjoying food because I like to eat. So anybody who's enjoying food, you know, I'm down with that. I'm not grossed out by it. Burp, slurp, whatever. It's cool.
What sound or noise do you hate?
The sound of vomiting. And the sight of vomiting. That will, like, I get that reaction where it's like I see it and then I have to do it. I'm like, oh, ooh. Like, I get that kind of visceral reaction.
The sound of vomiting. I guarantee nobody in the history of Inside the Actor Studio said the sound of vomiting. This is actually the one I've been waiting for. What is your favorite curse word?
The F word, hands down.
Oh, I got the F word. Wow.
The F word.
I was looking forward to bleeping you out. You just don't even know.
Oh, no. The F word. EFF word. it's so versatile. It's like the George Carlin bit. It's so versatile.
It really is, though. I mean, because it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. It could be anger. It could be joy.
It could be a noun. It could be a verb. It could be an adverb. It could be an adjective. It's just amazing.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Someone else asked me this, and I said I would want to be like a hotel maid because I kind of have like a a voyeuristic tendency. So it'd be kind of interesting to see what state hotel people leave their hotel rooms and what that says about them. I guess that makes me more of like an anthropologist. So hotel maid anthropologist hybrid.
This just got weird.
I know.
You missed the boat when you were at Berkeley. You could have been.
I know. I missed a lot of things when I was at Berkeley.
What profession would you not like to do?
Probably colorectal surgeon, because I'm bad at science.
Because you're bad at science, that's the reason you...
That's the only reason why, yeah.
So you have no problem... I don't even want to get into that. I'm not even going to get into it.
Are we having fun?
We are having... Okay, and finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You're not on the list, but we'll let you in anyway.
All right, fair enough. Audrey, again, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you want to say to the fine folks of Urgent Fury before I let you go and enjoy some God of War?
Be sure to download the next episode of Core, where you'll find a beefed up Blu-ray feature courtesy of me. So you can find that in the PlayStation Store, as always, under Q, because Core is spelled with a Q. And you can find me also on fearnet.com, where just go under blogs and you'll see my blog up there, and hopefully in the future some video stuff coming up. And as always, if you have ideas for Fearnet or for Core or any of that stuff, feel free to drop me a line, audrey@audreycleo.com. Be cool, stay in school.
Well, that just about wraps things up for another episode. Thanks again to my guest, Audrey Cleo. Don't forget, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, you can send them to me via email at commanderfury@urgentfury.com. If I read your email on the air, we'll hook you up with some sweet swag from the Urgent Fury store. Keep in mind also that you can network with us via Twitter, the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and on our web channel at youtube.com. Urgent Frequency is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings, and right here in the studio by Allison Armstrong, with a special shout out this week to Cheston and the entire crew at PJI. I'm Commander Fury. You know the drill, boys and girls. Keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah!
Please be fat, guys. Please be fat, guys. Aww.